Here's the way the internet started, as you will recall. This is actually a couple of years after it started, with its, 15 or 20 hosts. And you'll remember these hosts are connected by routers, which take in bit packets and ship them out, trying to do the best they can to figure out what direction to send them in so they'll eventually reach the destination that is encoded in the packet as a few bits of address. And that, and this is, I think, where we left off last time, that the theory is that if you want to do some more sophisticated function than just moving individual bits around in now this massive network. There are many graphic depictions of what the internet looks like. None of them is particularly satisfactory because they tend to look like mossy tree things. But of course, the internet is a network. It's got lots of redundant connections all across. But if you tried to put them all down with the hundreds of millions of things that are interconnected now, you just have a big blob. So you can do some nice, lovely graphic art here, but I'm not sure that these things actually give you any information. The routers are relatively dumb, and they rely on intelligence at the edge of the network. So what happens at the edge of the network when you want to put a message, a music, an email, a music file, a web page, some streaming video, whatever it is, into the internet so that it comes out somewhere on the other side or several places on the other side? Well, the computers at the edge have to break whatever it is up into packets, because that's all that the core of the internet knows what to deal with, are these bit packets. You add a serial number. That is to say, if you've got something big and you've got to communicate it as small chunks of 1,500 1,500 bits or so, the 1,500 bytes or so, I'm sorry, it's like sending War and Peace on postcards, right? So you better write serial numbers on them, 1, 2, 3, so that when they come out the other end and the computer at the other end needs to reassemble them, they will know, that machine will know what order the packets should be put back together in to comprise the original message that was sent. So you add serial numbers. You add something that's called a fingerprint. Now, this is another metaphor, and there's fancier terms for it. But the idea is this. Packets sometimes get damaged in transit. What you put in a packet when you put it into the internet may, because there was a squirrel chewing on a wire somewhere, or there was a thunderstorm, or there was a gamma ray that hit a chip somewhere in between. It can actually, between the time it goes in a wire and the time it goes out the other end of the wire, or while it's being processed in one of the routers, a bit could get damaged, could turn from a 0 to 1 or 1 to 0, inadvertently. So there's a little bit of redundant information, some kind of signature or fingerprint that gets added to the data in the packet, so that the routers along the way can check, at least do a course check, to see if the packet seems to match the little compressed version of the packet, the fingerprint of the packet that's being carried along with it. So a little bit of error checking code data that gets added to the packet, just to do a quick check to see if the packet seems to be intact or not, or whether it's been damaged along the way. Of course, when you put it into the internet, you've got to say where the internet is supposed to deliver it to. So there's a destination address, and then you drop it into the internet. And bingo, after going through some number of routers, it eventually comes out somewhere where the packets get reassembled. Now we're talking about the machine at the edge at the other end of the internet, just again using these very coarse, metaphors. You may decide, look and see, the recipient may look and decide and say, I'm missing packet number 437 of this 1,000 packet message. Where is it? So that would require communicating back to the source, or maybe not. That's a decision that gets made at the edge, and it will depend on what kind of message is being delivered. You know, if you're delivering a spreadsheet, you probably want the whole spreadsheet. 99% of the spreadsheet doesn't do you any good at all. If you're delivering a telephone call, you know, having 99% of the packets come through may be just fine. Maybe perfectly comprehensible with a little bit of static in what you're hearing. So whether you decide to ask for a retransmission of missing data is up to the machines at the edge. Same thing with respect to packets that have been damaged and are perceived to have been damaged only on delivery. And then you finally pass it on to software that's at a higher level of the protocol stack, as we say. So all of this is not done at the level of voice over IP or Real Player or any particular piece of software. This itself is software that's being utilized, can be utilized by a variety of different applications. So, and what happens in between, and this was a critical engineering decision, not an uncontroversial one either, is that the routers, their job is just to do the best they can in passing the packets along. Okay, this is a it's a best effort delivery network. If a router discovers, for example, if the router discovers that a packet's been damaged, it just throws it away, doesn't tell anybody. It figures, you know, if the recipient, ultimate recipient, cares that it's not received all of the packets, it will send a message back through the network to say, not to the core of the network, but all the way back to the source of the message, saying, I seem to have missed something important, please send it again. If the recipient doesn't care about that, then they won't ask for a retransmission. And the core of the network, the routers in the middle of the network, are in no position to make that judgment because all they're supposed to do is pass the bits along. So this is an example of what I say, of keeping the core of the network dumb and having the intelligence be out at the edges. So there's your various client applications utilize the lower level stuff to do the packetizing, you know, whatever it is, email, web browsers, or, you know, music stuff, or, and there's applications at the other end that do the opposite. So if you're getting music from iTunes, you know, you've got the little software on your machine, Apple has the software on its machine, and those two pieces of software figure out how to handshake utilizing, you know, the facilities that are underneath. All right, so that's the basic picture.